there and what we're going to do and say tonight. So I think I'm a little echoey, Brother Alvin. Maybe turn me down because I'm loud anyway. Amen. Yeah, I got some amens on that right there. There you go. You're doing good, preacher. Yeah, loud mouth. Well, let me just tell you another funny little thing that happened. I can't really tell you where. I don't remember where. We've been to several revivals and most of them just, you know, little old country churches that we've been to and meetings. And they were singing that song that Brother Ronnie was singing. They were singing that song, "There's Power in the Blood." Well, I mean, I hope y'all look at that when you're looking at the words to it. And if you look at it in there, it says POW'R. Okay, power, right. I mean, good old country folks say power. Well, wherever we were, they got fancy. The choir director said, "There's power in the blood." And I thought, power? It's power. I mean, come on, son, get with it. But, I mean, we're in a country church, and I'm looking over at her, and we're singing power. Amen. And the rest of them were singing power. There's power. Oh, well, I'm just going to stay like this, all right? Well, let's look, if we will, again, back in the book of Luke, chapter number 9. You know, we've been talking about Jesus and the prayer meeting on the mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration, and we talked a little bit last week about this idea of this. And, you know, I told you, I got studying this thing, and man, I kind of had it all mapped out, and it looked pretty good, you know, 1, 2, 3, but then it got bigger. It just kind of swelled up on me, especially that first point. Well, I think I've done it again with the second point. So we'll look at it and see if we can look at that tonight, and then maybe we'll get through with it next week. But it's a great set of scriptures in the Bible when we're looking at this. And again, look with me, if you will, in Luke chapter number 9. And we'll pick up at the very end of Jesus' conversation that he is having with his disciples, talking about them being a disciple. And he adds this in verse number 27 of Luke 9. Verse number 27. He said, "But I tell you of a truth, that there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." And it came to pass about 8 days after these things, he took Peter and John and James, went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias," not knowing what he said. And while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for your word and for everything that you have helped us and blessed us with. Thank you for the songs tonight, and thank you for the thought of all of those songs, that there's still power in the blood of Jesus, that we're not going to hell. We thank you for that, dear Lord, and I'm so glad of all that you do for us, and thank you that we can just turn and love you and find that you do love us, and you've taken care of us, and you have blessed us and met our needs and saved us and established us a place in heaven. We're so thankful for that. Be a blessing now tonight as we read the scriptures, as we study them, as we get into them now, and we'll thank you for that. We'll praise you, and we'll just give you all the glory. Save the lost. Speak to every heart that's here tonight about something in their lives, something that we can do, something we can share, something we can be further established in Christ with, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, like I say, we looked at really the first point of this last week, and we saw that this whole thing, first of all, is a scene of his glory. when he's transfigured on the mountain. It's a scene of his glory. And we saw this, and we saw the foretelling of this event. It was, you know, something that Jesus told them. He said, some of you are going to not see death until you've seen the kingdom of God. And they didn't understand what all that meant. And there was, of course, that regular group of his disciples. So they didn't understand that. And then the fellows that are involved in that, we talked about Peter and James and John. And what a trio that is, right? And I want to tell you something about that trio again. They're a lot like me and you. Amen? I mean, they messed up. They said silly, stupid stuff, and they got off track, and they got to trying to be big shots. I mean, hey, just like me and you, but aren't you glad Jesus loved them and still kept them right there with him? And then we see the fashioning of this event. We talked about him going into that place of glory and how that he is there transfigured before them, glowing, and all of those things that we saw. So we saw this as a scene of his glory. But second of all, let's look at this tonight just for a little bit. And let's say it's a scene of his story. This is a scene of a story about Jesus. This is the scene. Now, Jesus is his raiment is white and glistering, it says. And it says in verse number 30, and behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. That's Elijah to me and you, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. So we'll just kind of cap it off right there for a minute and talk about this as far as thinking about these two men that are here with Jesus and in his glory. He's in his glory, but I mean, you're going to see some other things about this, and let's talk about that. First of all, let's talk about these two. Let's talk about the two. Now, the Bible tells us this is Moses and Elijah. And I think if you'll look at every one of the accounts, and that's, you know, here in the synoptic story of this in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those three tell the story. And in telling that story, every one of them tell us there's two men, and they tell us it's Moses and Elijah. Those two men that are there. And isn't that amazing? Isn't it? I mean, to me, it's amazing that here's Peter and John and James, and they see Jesus glorified before them. And then all of a sudden there's two other characters that are there, and they know who they are. I mean, I don't think they're wearing name badges. Hello, my name is Moses. And hello, my name is Eli. I don't think that's going on. I think they know. What does that tell me? It tells me and you a whole lot of good stuff right here. It tells us that these people were recognizable. What does that mean? I think when we get to heaven, it's going to be like that, folks. I believe, I mean, just according to this story right here, according to what you see, here's Peter and John and James, and they're not glorified yet, but they know Jesus allows them to see his glory, and there's two other men in that same glory, and they are glorified the same way. Now, I don't understand this in this respect. Here are these two men, and, you know, the Bible tells us that we will not have those bodies, those glorified bodies, until the day that Jesus comes back and raises us. And you know, we talk about over in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and those things talk about Jesus is going to raise the dead, and we're going to be changed and all that. And then we're going to be like him, okay? But this is a little bit early preview. And you'd say, well, how'd that happen? I don't have a clue. Amen? And you don't either. We don't know. It may be that God did this especially for them. And this is just a picture that the Lord wanted them to know. But I want you to see these two men. When you look at these two men, you notice, look at that very first part of that in verse number 30. It says, and behold. You see that word behold? That is an eye-catching word. Behold. Pay attention. Look at this. This is something that you need to see. It is something that should be, Spurgeon said this. Spurgeon said that behold is a word of wonder. He said, behold, whenever you see that in the Bible, it's a word of wonder, and it's something that ought to excite an admiration in us about whatever it is that the writer says, behold. whatever it is. I mean, in the book of Revelation, you see that word behold used a lot. Throughout some of the other writers in the scripture, you see them say, and behold. And maybe especially in the gospels, there's times when you see that word, something, behold this. And even Jesus say, behold. Hey, it means pay attention. This is something you need to look at. You need to take time and just stop for a minute and look at what's going on. Because this is going to be fascinating. But we're looking at these two men, and it's they're seen with Jesus. I mean, here they are. We've got Moses and Elijah. Now, however you want to think of it, this is the way that I've always thought of this when I saw this picture. Moses, to me, is a representative of the law. And Elijah is a representative of the prophets. And here, grace, Jesus, meets right in the middle of the law and the prophets. Here they are all together, and you just got to notice what they're talking about. You just got to notice what they see, and what needs to be seen is the fact that here's the law. Moses represents the law. God gave Moses the law, and the Bible tells us the law is good, but can tell you Jesus is better. Amen? And here's the prophets represented by Elijah. And Elijah has preached and told and talked. And man, he's told Israel, y'all need to get right with God because there's somebody coming. And here he is. And they're all standing there together. And Jesus is about to fulfill everything there is in the law and everything that the prophets have talked about. Here he is. And that's what they've met to discuss. Amen. But it's these two men. These two men. I want you to notice a few things about these two men. All right? These two men. As a matter of fact, look here at this, if you will, in this same chapter, chapter number 9 of Luke. And if you will, Jesus is beginning to talk to his disciples. And look back in verse number 7. Look back in verse number 7. It says, "Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him," by Jesus, "and he was perplexed because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again." Oh, there's some folks that thought Jesus was Elijah, right? Flip on over just a few more verses, if you will, in this same chapter, chapter number 18. "It came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say people that I am?" And listen to what they said. They answering said, "John the Baptist, but some say Elias or Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." Jesus said, "Hey, boys, let me show y'all something. I'm not Elijah. He's up here with me. I'm not Moses, one of the older elder guys in the Bible. They're here with me. I am Jesus. And if you need more proof, I am God's only begotten Son." Amen? Boy, can I tell you, that just proved and refuted a lot of the things that everybody else was believing. And, you know, sometimes people start saying things, and other people say, "Well, you know, that might be right. I don't know. We all think about it." No, Jesus said, "Let me just prove that." God in heaven, the Father, said, "Let me prove it to you. This is my Son. There's Moses. There's Elijah. He's not either one of them." Amen? And if anybody else needed any proof, well, there it is. But I want you to notice some things about these guys. First of all, if you'll think about this, both of these men are men of prayer like Jesus. Jesus is a man of prayer. But can I tell you one of the most notable things that you see about Moses is that Moses steals off into a mountain apart himself and he begins to talk with God. Now, I don't know what you call that, but I call it prayer. Amen? He begins to discuss with God. God begins to tell him something. And it's not just one time. It's not just two times. There's occasion after occasion when Moses meets with God and God speaks to him and God tells him. And I'm telling you, that's the same thing as prayer, friend. Moses was a man, we could say, that was of great prayer. As a matter of fact, your Bible tells you in the book of James that Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. But, buddy, he was a man of prayer. You see Elijah pray, and it didn't rain. You see Elijah pray again, and it did rain. You see Elijah pray, fire falls from heaven. You see Elijah pray, and God sends down something and gets rid of some men that's after him. I'm just telling you, he was a great man of prayer. But can I tell you, when you look at that, I want you to notice Jesus was a great man of prayer too. We've already looked at several scriptures, and there's multiples beyond that. As a matter of fact, you saw it there in verse number 18 in this chapter. Came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him and asked him, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" But Jesus is a man of prayer. Jesus prayed. He got up early in the morning. He prayed when there was a problem. He'd look up to his Father and he'd pray, and God would do the miraculous. He would look at the storms and he would begin to talk to the Father. And God, he'd say, "I want him to know that you're with me." And God would take care of situations. I'm talking about Jesus was a man of prayer. So I want you to see the likeness of these three that are standing there before Peter and James and John. And he said, they're men of prayer. But not only this, I want you to realize, when you think about it, Elijah and Moses had amazing journeys toward their deaths. You remember the story? We all think about Elijah. Here's Elijah, and Elisha is with him, his little servant boy. They're there together, and a chariot of fire comes down and gets Elijah, and he takes him away. Elijah's gone. Well, how'd he go? God took him. Amen? The Lord sent a chariot down and whisked him away. What about Moses? Can I tell you, there's nobody that's ever known where Moses was buried. You know why? Because God buried him. If you remember, Jude talks about that and said that an angel disputed with the devil about the body of Moses. I'm telling you, Satan wanted to do something with the body of Moses. I don't know what he wanted to do. I wonder if he wanted to set it up and let Israel worship him in a shrine. I don't know if he wanted to do something to desecrate his body. I don't know what he wanted. He wanted to do something, and he was up to no good. But can I tell you, the devil came in, but the angel of the Lord rebuked him by saying, "The Lord rebuke thee." Amen? And that both of those men died some very, it was an unusual, I would say a unique death for them. But can I tell you, there's somebody else that died that was rather unique. That would be Jesus. Jesus died on Calvary, but he just didn't stay dead, did he? They buried him, and in 3 days, he was up out of that grave, and he ascended to his Father in heaven. Can I tell you, those three guys, we don't know where their bodies are. Amen? I mean, we have no idea. I mean, all I can tell you is God got them. Jesus ascended. We know that. He came out of the grave. Moses? Don't know. The Bible just says that God buried him. I don't know where his body is. Elijah? God came and got him, took him. We don't have. You remember when Elijah is carried off, that there's some of the men of the sons of prophets. They come to Elisha and they say, "Let us go look for your master. Let us go look for Elijah. We'll go and find his body." He said, "There's no need. There is no need." They just kept coming and kept saying, "Oh yeah, let us go. We got to go. He's been flung off over here, been slung here. He dropped off." And he said, "Go check it out yourself, boys." They went out and they looked, and you know what? They couldn't find him. You know why? Because God took him. Amen? I'm just telling you, there's some things that God is showing them here in this. They were all, Elijah, Moses, and Jesus, all connected to numerous miracles. I mean, you remember how Moses reached down or threw down his rod and it became a serpent, and he reached down again and it became his rod again. How that he went before Pharaoh and produced all the miraculous things that he did. How that he went out and talked to the sea and held up his staff, and God pushed the water back and dried the land, and they all walked through on dry ground. Yeah, hey, and that's not all. He smote rock, water came out. I mean, he threw a tree in and waters got sweet. There's all kinds of things that Moses did. Miraculous, right? What did Elijah do? As I say, he did the miraculous thing. There were miracles after miracles. Somebody says there's at least 7 miracles that you can go back and find in the life of Elijah. Elijah did the miraculous. He prayed and God sent fire down from heaven and it got rid of the sacrifice, the stones, the water, everything that there was, licked up the dust. I mean, hey, there was some miracle power enough that Elijah said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want a double helping of what you got." Amen. Right? So let me just tell you, man, these guys, and what about Jesus? I mean, these guys did some miracles, but we don't even have recorded every miracle that Jesus did. We've got so many here, but I believe there's a whole lot more that you and I know nothing about, and we won't probably till we get to heaven, amen? But I'm telling you, both of them, all of them were miracle workers. They were all connected to some sort of 40-day event and the Lord. You remember what Moses did? He went up in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights and spent some time with God. What did Elijah do? When he got on the run from Jezebel, you know what he did? He went out, and you know the story, how he was depressed and things taken off. But when he got out, God set down an angel, baked him an angel food cake. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, listen. Hey, he led him. And I've told y'all, the best thing you can do, you get depressed, you know what you need to do? Eat something and take a nap. Amen. That's what he did. He did that twice. And you know what he did? He got up and went in the power of that meat. Them angel food cakes held him for 40 days. Amen? I mean, listen, God knows what he's doing. But can I tell you, Jesus went out in the desert and he was tempted of Satan after a 40-day period of fasting and prayer. So what I'm saying, all three of these guys, isn't that amazing how these things all kind of line up? There's a connection there with those 40 days events. Both of these men prove that there is life after death. They prove, how do they prove? Right here in this story. They're standing there, and Peter and James are like, that's Moses and that's Elijah. And we thought they were dead. They were dead. But can I tell you, doesn't that give me and you hope to realize that we may die down here, but thank God if we're saved, we're his, we'll live again. And you know what the great thing about that is? I said, these guys were, they had errors, they had faults, they had problems in their life. Moses, what? He'd kill somebody. Moses disobeyed God. Moses, got aggravated with people. And all those things that you see through the Old Testament movement of the folks of God through the wilderness, Moses was there. But you know what? God let him hang up there in glory with him when the Lord Jesus was glorified. Elijah got depressed, got on the run, let Jezebel run him off, got all tore up and said, I'm the only one, had his own little pity party. But you know what? He's standing there with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. So you know what that means? There's hope for me and you, amen? I mean, we don't have to be perfect to be in heaven. We just got to depend on Jesus, amen? We just got to depend on Jesus. So you see these guys, and it lets us know that there is life after death. And look, they are glorified just like Jesus. Do you see that? It says here that it says, and as he prayed, in verse 29, and look in verse 30, and behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. Listen in verse 31, who appeared in glory. Who appeared in glory. Whose glory were? They were in his glory. They was in the glory of Jesus. And thank God, you know what that means? Me and you are going to be there one of these days. Amen. That ought to help your heart. That ought to help you out a whole lot tonight to realize, hey, I've done some bonehead things. Hey, me too. I've done some goofy stuff. I've been wrong. I've messed up. I'm, a little bit of everything. But I'm telling you, God's still able to get us there. Amen. So they both could prove life after death. Guess what? Jesus did too. He told John on the Isle of Patmos, behold, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Woo, hallelujah. Ain't that good? Then, listen, they both had mountaintop experiences. Moses was on Mount Sinai when he met with the Lord and got the Ten Commandments, got the commandments from God. And you know what the Bible tells us about Elijah? Elijah went to Mount Horeb, and that's where he runs to when he gets away from Jezebel. He runs to, you know what Mount Horeb is? It's the same thing as Mount Sinai. They both went to the same place. And now look at them. They having a mountaintop meeting right here. Now this is probably, I think we talked about this before, this is probably Mount Hermon where Jesus is with them. But can I tell you, Jesus, the Bible tells us a little bit later on, I think it's Paul over in Hebrews chapter number 12, we don't have to go to Mount Sinai. We don't have to go to a place of fear. We don't have to go to a place of smoke and all of that awe and scared feelings and fear that may be. But thank God we've come to a whole different place where we can see and be in the glory. Amen? So that's where they are right now. So They all had these mountaintop experiences. Listen, they both met with the Lord face to face. In the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that God would meet with Moses and talk to him face to face, just like a man did with his friend. He met him face to face. Hey, Elijah, if you go read that over, when he's over in that mountain, in that cave, he sticks his face out and God shows up and begins to talk to him there, doesn't he? Face to face. The Lord spoke with both of them. And can I tell you, Jesus spoke to his Father probably every day. Amen? I mean, he had some face-to-face meetings with his Father, and the only time that Jesus wasn't there with his Father was while he was hanging on the cross between 12 and 3 in the afternoon, and God in heaven turned out the lights, turned his back on him, and let Jesus suffer and die for my sins and for yours. But otherwise, he was face-to-face with the Father in heaven. They both of these men, Moses and Elijah, stood for the Lord and his word. Both of them had to take a stand. Elijah had to take a stand against King Ahab. And here's Moses. He had to take a stand for God, trying to lead the people out of Egypt. But you know what happened in both cases? The people rejected what they had to say. Moses is there, and they were mumbled and griped and grumbled all the way through the wilderness. God said, I can take care of that. I'll fend them down. Amen. And he did. He got rid of a lot of them. And then Elijah, you know what he said? How long halt you between two opinions while he's there on that mountain and the people are looking at him? I don't know what to say. They're a bunch of Baptists. Amen. Apparently, what they were. They couldn't make up their minds what they want to do. And I want to tell you this. That's why Elijah got so depressed in 1 Kings chapter 19, is because the people still wanted to just play around with the devil and his crowd rather than wholeheartedly follow the Lord. In other words, they rejected the man of God. It happened. Can I tell you something else? What your Bible tells you? It said that Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. Amen? But to as many as did receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Can I tell you? Hey, all these men had very similar things that went on in their life. But I'll tell you this. Jesus is greater than these two men that are here with him. In any way you want to look at it, Christ Jesus is greater than both. Greater than the law, greater than the prophets, stands the high priest of heaven. Stands the one that is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they're talking with him there as they begin to understand that. And listen, they're not trying to say, well, what do you think about what I did? Well, Elijah, well, you look at me. I did this and I did. No, they're not doing that. They're talking to Jesus. And buddy, what they're talking about is something else. Jesus fulfilled both of those men's offices, the law and the prophets. And now they are talking with him. Look what it says there. It says, and behold, verse 30, and behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory. Let's talk about the talking that they're doing. There's two men talking with him who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. So they're talking. What's the talk about, preacher? They're talking about Jesus and his death. That's what they're talking about. I mean, that's the discussion at hand. But that that word talked is in the Greek rendering of it, it means to talk to somebody as you would just sit down and have that intimate, friendly discussion of some subject in depth. You know, have you ever sat down and talked with your friends and said, let's talk about, I mean, just whatever it is, Brother Alvin, you want to talk about Georgia football? I mean, you know, you want to do that? I mean, somebody, Brother Ronnie, you want to talk about Tennessee football? I mean, we'd have a discussion and, you know, and honey, we want to talk about Alabama football? Not this year, right? That's what she said. Not this year. We want that talk. But listen, I mean, just sit down and have those discussions. And they're sitting down having this intimate, this relational discussion back and forth about a subject that they all know about. It's a subject that they all have input on. Moses said, well, I wrote the law about it, but I was looking for something better than the law. Oh, and as I say, Elijah said, well, I preached about it, and I've been looking for it for a long time. And Jesus said, I'm here, and I'm what's going to bring about this whole thing and bring it to a head. Amen? That's what they're talking about. That's what they're talking about. But notice what it says. It says, they spake of his decease. Now, that's a way to get together and talk, isn't it? They spake of his decease. But I want to tell you something. In the Greek, again, looking back at that word decease, it is the word Exodus. Exodus? I thought that was the second book of the Bible. It is. But you know what that word Exodus really means? When you're talking about the Exodus, it means a departure or a leaving. Jesus is talking about, you know what he's saying? Boys, I'm getting ready to go home. Woo, hallelujah. What about that? I mean, that's what they're talking about. And all three of them are talking, we can't wait to see you back at the house. You're coming home. Now listen, I'm making it a little probably on the silly side, but I'm telling you, hey, that's what they were talking about. They were talking about the fact that Jesus was going to do something and he was going to be leaving this earth. He was ready for that. As a matter of fact, you look over in John chapter number 17, and that falls really a little bit later than this. But when you look at that, the Bible tells us that Jesus knew that his time had come. He said, Father, it's time. Let's do this. We've got something that's got to be done. And thank God that's what they're talking about. They're talking about his leaving. And the only reason, it's not just that he's leaving just to say, boy, I've been down here and I've had it with this world. No, there's something that's going to happen. Look at a little bit further. They're not just talking about his leaving. Not just talking about his leaving, but they're looking for his departure. I mean, they understood all of these future events, but they also spake about his accomplishments. Look what it says. It says that they spake of his decease, listen, which he should accomplish in Jerusalem. He's going to do something. What's he going to accomplish? Woo, can I tell you, that word accomplishment has the idea that he is going to suffer, that he is going to be executing, that he is going to finish something that he has started. And can I tell you, that's what Jesus came to do. God the Father sent him to die for me and for you. And you know what Moses is saying? Moses is saying, well, I remember how I told the children of Israel to take their little lambs on that certain day of that certain month, and they were to take the blood and put it on the posts of the door, and that the death angel passed through. But when he's seen the blood, he'll pass over you. Jesus said, I am that lamb. And Moses said, I know you are. And we've been looking for this day. We've been expecting this day. We've been looking for you to come and fulfill the prophecy of the entirety of the Word of God. Amen. You know, Elijah looked over him and said, well, I just want to tell you this. I remember when you come and got me, when God sent that chariot down there and snatched me out of this world. He pulled me right out of the place where I was, and nobody know where I went. They don't even know too much about it. They was looking for me and they couldn't find me. And Jesus said, I'm going to do that too, and it's going to be for my children. Amen. Woo! Can I tell you what a discussion those men had there in that glory cloud? And it's all, I want you to know, it's all centered on the Lord himself. Moses didn't say, look what I done. Elijah didn't say, look what I done. They're looking at him and saying, look what you've done. And look what you're going to do. And look what's here before. And we just can't hardly wait for this thing to get finished and accomplished. Amen? And then you'll notice this, that they do talk about Jerusalem. Jerusalem. You see, it specifically says it right here, that they, of his decease, and spake of his decease, verse 31, which he should accomplish, but not just period there, at Jerusalem. It was important that it be done at Jerusalem. Why? Because that's where the yearly sacrifices for the sin of the nation. That's where, I mean, that's the hub. Can I tell you right now, what in the world does this world and all of the crazies and all of the wicked and all of the unusual out there in the Middle East, you know what? They're looking at that little old bitty spot on the earth called Jerusalem, and they hate it. They don't like it. They'd like to wipe it off the face there. I mean, they want the whole land of Israel, but they're particularly looking at Jerusalem. You know why? Because that's the place where God started a lot of the... Hey, what do you think they offered the sacrifices? Jerusalem. Where do you think God put his name forever? Jerusalem. Where do you think God said that that whole little thing was the apple of his eye? Right at the heart of it is Jerusalem. And the Bible said here that they said, it's going to happen at Jerusalem. I mean, God just says, this is going to be a special place on the face of this earth. And Jerusalem is still the place. I mean, you talk to people and talk about Jerusalem. You know, I thought, well, show us some pictures. They'll always show pictures of Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? There are the walls around Jerusalem. And there's still some remnants of the old things there, of the gates. But on the east side, you stand up on the Mount of Olives. You look across the valley, and you look at that wall. And on the outside of the eastern wall there, there's the graveyard that belongs to the Muslims. I've heard people say they've paid tens of thousands of dollars to be buried on that hillside. I ain't got no idea why. Because, I mean, if it's a bunch of Muslims, they're going to be there when Jesus comes back for a while. But he's got, there is a marking, there is an outline, there's an image, like where there was a gate there. Can I tell you, one day that's going to get broke down. Because he's going to go marching right on in to the holy city of God. And they're talking about, woo, all the stuff that he's going to accomplish by his death. But I guarantee you, there's some things that's going to happen beyond that. And it's going to have to do with Jerusalem. I mean, that's just amazing to me that's all. And you say, well, what a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. It's the plan of God. Amen? The city of Jerusalem. I mean, listen, do you know where the church started? Jerusalem. Hey, what about that? I mean, what did Jesus tell them? He said, just tarry at Jerusalem till you be endued with power. But then you're supposed to go out for Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part. You know, he tells them that. But it all starts at Jerusalem. Jerusalem. It's a special place, folks. I mean, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's what the scriptures tell us, right? It's a special place in the heart of God. So they talked about all that kind of stuff. All right, let's get on just a little bit further. And let's talk about the trio. Remember, we've still got Peter and James and John hanging around. Oh, sleepy Peter, James, and John. That's what we've got. Look what it says in verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. I told y'all there's Baptists. Amen. Sleep. When that kind of meeting's going on, amen, preacher. No. Huh? When I was a lot younger, we had a guy in our church, and you know, he was an older fella. He was a truck driver. He drove a big cement mixer truck. And he'd come to church on Wednesday nights a lot of time, and he'd sit on the front row. Matter of fact, sat right about there, you know, right there on the front row. And I can remember one night my daddy was preaching. Daddy is preaching, and he looked over there at Brother Earl, and he went over, and he shook him. He said, hey, Brother Earl. He said, wake up. You need to hear this. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, here's Peter and John and James. They're asleep. Now, if you remember, you'll find out we go on. Jesus goes to the garden and takes them with him so far in the garden. What do? They go to sleep. And he goes back and tries to wake them up a couple of occasions. And then he tells them, just sleep on. Everything's going as it should. But I want you to notice this trio. I want you to notice, finally, they wake up. Do you see that? They said they were asleep, heavy asleep. And when they were awake, they finally woke up. They saw what? His glory. I'm telling you, this is his glory. When they got awake, they saw his glory. And when they saw his glory, you realize that there's an emphasis there that it's Jesus and his glory. But they did see the other men that were there with them. But can I tell you this? This just fulfilled what Jesus had told them. Verse 27, I tell you the truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. These three fellas are standing here. They see the two men with Jesus. They see the glory. I mean, they're right in the middle of something exciting. And they are still alive. And they've seen some things of the kingdom of God. They've seen what it's going to be like. They've seen the glory. They have seen the people of glory. They have recognized it. Isn't that amazing? I mean, what Peter said, well, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And we'll cover some of this next week. But Peter begins to, let's build three tabernacles. One for you and one for Moses. How do he know who Moses was? I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. And Elijah. How do he know who Elijah was? He just knew who they were. They didn't have pictures. They didn't have any point of reference. They didn't have anything to recognize. I mean, that's been, thousands of years. But they still knew who they were. Amen. And they saw that glory. And I'll tell you this. I think this particularly, they didn't want this little scene to end. Peter said, Lord, it's a good place for us to be. You ever been like that in a church service? I mean, you're just about praying it didn't end. God come down and visited and blessed and stirred and moved. And you're thinking, man, I don't want to go home. I mean, you think, these people are so dear to me, and the Lord's presence has been so real and so good. I'd just rather just stay here rather than go to the house. Amen? And that's why he said, Lord, it's a good place for us to be. Why don't we just build y'all three little booths here? They'd been celebrating, if you remember, Feast of Tabernacles. They'd been celebrating that earlier. And, wow, here it is. Why don't we just stay here? We'll let y'all all camp out. But then there was an interruption, wasn't there? There was an interruption. Peter's word. Hey, let me tell you this. I think in this, when you think about what Peter said, it's good for us to be here and see all the things they saw, be around the things they were around. I think I can say this. You're going to love your future too. Amen? I believe every one of us in this room are going to love what the Lord gives to us when we stand there in his presence. Can you imagine? We sing about his grace. We sing about his glory. We sing about those things beyond. But one day, we're going to be right there in the middle of every bit of it. And it's going to be, we'll be like Peter. Lord, it's good for us to be here. Hallelujah. Can we just stay? Just stay here with us. Amen. Boy, aren't you glad of that? We'll try to cover the rest of this next week. But Lord willing, we'll be in revival next week, won't we? But be a couple of weeks from now. So, if you will, let's, Brother Ronnie, come on. We'll get ready to have a song tonight. If